I like the South though. I feel like everyone needs to go to the South for like a month, you know? It's like a missionary trip, you know? Go there, build a Waffle House, then you can go back home, you know? Because it'll teach you things. It really does. Like, I can tell, I live in New York and LA a lot of the time. I travel there a lot, I'm there a lot. And I can always tell when my friends have not been to the South. Like, they'll be like, Donald Trump is the most racist person I know. And I'm like, well, you need to meet more racist people then. Like, look, I'm not saying he's not racist, but like, he's not in the top 50 on my mom's side of the family. Like, if we had a fantasy draft all-star team of racism, ninth round pick at best, and I'm trading him for a kicker, okay? Like, that's why, you know, we need somebody like me to be up in the White House, you know? I read a stat, somebody sent me something, we owe like $1 quadrillion, something like some kind of amount that we'll never pay back, you know? They should know that by now. It's kind of like Bank of America with me. You should be like, look, you keep giving me the credit, you know I'm not going to give it back, you know? But you need somebody like me, because when you're broke, when you're poor, everybody who's like, the president's rich. Have somebody like me, because when you have a poor person, when you run out of money, we just start selling shit we don't need, you know? You're like, I don't like this couch. That couch, $25, Craigslist, you know? Like, I feel like we have a bunch in America that we just don't use, and we keep it for no reason. Like, we should sell North Dakota. We should just sell it. Does anybody in here use it? Does anybody, or is it like that coat in the closet that you wear one time a year, you know? Let's get rid of it. So let's sell it to Canada for 45 pesos and a mule or whatever they use. Yeah. And by the way, I'm not making fun of the people in North Dakota. There just are none, okay? Like, when I was in North Dakota, it was also negative 22 degrees. We don't need that kind of hate in America. Negative 22? Dude, if it's 40 in Alabama, we board the windows up and burn books to keep warm. Like, what? I'm just kidding, we don't have books in Alabama, but I'm just kidding, we do have books, Paula Deen cookbooks, all right? Them fuckers are thick, okay? They'll keep you warm for hours, racist for days, okay? And if you have a Paula Deen cookbook, you're probably already pretty insulated, let's be honest, all right? But that's why, like, I love the conversation. I'm from the South, so everyone's always like, we don't got enough room for these Mexicans in this country. And I'm like, dude, have you been to North Dakota? Like, we have so much room for all the Mexicans in this country. They're going to hate the weather, but the buffalo tacos? Unbelievable, okay? Like, what?
Welcome
we begin
to the
today
podcast
with a rather
I'm your host, Frank Anderson, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
Oh, why did that piece of shit pop up?
I don't know. You got an ad.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we had that one.
A Ben Shapiro ad.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't need that in my life, that's for sure. How do I get off that? That guy, Rocky Del Davis, I found him on TikTok, actually. And I thought he was pretty funny. I don't know why. I kind of like Southern non... stereotypical Southern comics, I guess would be the way to put it. Like Trey Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
He's one. He's not really from the South, but oh my God, what's Brett Terhune?
Sounds familiar.
He does the... Let me see if I can find him real quick.
I mean, there's some that I like, but then some that... I liked his because it was South, but which making fun of the South, but not your typical...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he went a different route with it that made it funny. And I think that's part of the thing sometimes we've talked about this, how it kind of jades us as comedians because we see so many that sometimes it's like, okay, I can see where you're going. This has been done a million times and it's just not funny to us anymore. But with like ones like that one, he takes a different turn and you're like, okay, Jesus. I like it.
So this is Brett Terhune, if you don't know.
All you have to do is...
Lord, yes, this is so beautiful. So beautiful. It's about time us Christians got a chance to speak about our religion in this country. And normally I would let my pastor do all the preaching, but since he flies private, it's people like me's job to spread the good word on commercial flights. Hey, no matter what
plane I'm on, you know who he is now?
It's always moved by the Spirit Airlines to me. Because just like Jesus said... Go forth and preach, especially between the drink cart and when the Ambien kicks in, because these people are captive, but they're not going to pay attention forever. I just stand up and start preaching as soon as that seatbelt light kicks off.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just that...
See, and I know what he's talking about, because I saw that one with that guy. They would have needed an air marshal, because I would have started throwing shit at him. I'd be like, dude, I just want to watch my shows in peace. Shut the fuck up.
An air marshal for you?
Yes, because I'm going to jump up and beat him. I'm just like, oh, I hate flying so much anyway. And if you're going to get up and sing Christian music, oh, fuck no. I will take this plane down.
Noise-canceling headphones. I highly recommend them.
Yeah, because they would need an air marshal, because I'd be the one yelling at him, I will take this fucking plane down if you don't shut up.
Yeah. No, I have no problem with... I put my headphones on the second I...
Yeah.
Second I walk in.
I need to get better ones, because I have the ones... Because I don't like the ones that go in my ear, and that's what I have for when I'm flying. And it by the end of the flight, my ears hurt.
I bought... when I went to Vegas, I bought a pair of just... like $30 skull candy folding cans headphones. And they're not as loud as I would like, but they block out the noise.
I'm gonna have to look at those, because that's what I need, something like that for when I'm flying.
And they literally fold up to, I mean, a little bit like thicker than a phone, but like that length of a phone. And I fold them up. I got a little pouch in my backpack for them that they fit perfect.
Oh, I got room in my backpack for them.
And, well, the backpack I got has, like, a little hard case. And I don't know if it's for sunglasses or headphones, but my headphones fit in there.
Hey.
And I'll wear my sunglasses on the plane, so I can pretend I'm sleeping with my headphones on. And
it's for whatever it fits. Because usually what I'll do is I take the iPad, and before we leave, I go on either Netflix or Disney, one of them, and find whatever show I want to watch, and I download every episode.
Yeah.
And then I sit there and watch it. Like, I've done, I can't remember the name of the show. It's a Matt Groening one that was on Netflix. That was Disenchanted, I think is what it was. It's the stupidest show, but it's, like, just mind-numbing enough that when you're on the airplane, you can watch it. You don't care if you fall asleep and miss an episode or two, but, yeah.
It was when I went to, Vegas. Delta had free TV in the thing.
Oh.
And... I think on the way to Vegas, I watched Mind Numbing, but I watched Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the way back, I just turned on fucking nature shows.
Hey.
I was looking to sleep. And I normally have very bad anxiety on a plane, but I was 5 days drunk. And
yeah, you needed the sleep.
And I was ready, so literally I popped on a show about monkeys, and I think it was the fucking jungle down in... like South America.
Mm.
And it's because there was a lot of like spider monkeys and shit like that. And yeah, I fucking dozed off and I woke up and a chimp was eating one. Like, yeah, it is what it is. But
hey, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so I've been bad. I've not watched any Obi-Wan.
I'm already 3 episodes in.
I got familied.
Oh.
So we went camping last weekend. And we came home Sunday, and I had promised Toby while camping, because he saw an ad that Sonic 2 came out last weekend on Paramount.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, buddy, when we get home, we'll watch Sonic 2. So by the time we got home and unpacked and, you know, did the cleanup shit, it was like 8 o'clock. By the time we watched Sonic and it was over, it was like 10. I'm like, yeah. I'm going to bed. I'm like, I'll watch it tomorrow. Well... That was Monday, the day off, and I ended up working as much as I could in the shed, and I think I dozed off on the couch at like 7 o'clock. Well, there went that idea, and so I was like, Wednesday, we have no sports, we're wide open. I knew we weren't going to record because you had comedy, we'll get to that a little later, and I was like, sweet, I'm watching it. All of a sudden, my sister, brother, and nephew walk in the door. Basically unannounced.
Bastards.
And I'm like, and then first word, have you watched Obi-Wan yet? I would fucking like to.
Yeah, just gonna watch it now. Shut up.
And then last night, Mr. Pickett was texting me about it, and I'm like, shut your dirty mouth. I haven't watched it yet. Like,
yeah.
And I think he called me. He's like, you're not the one that doesn't do their homework. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, I have. I've actually watched all three episodes. I even went and saw Top Gun. We can't even talk about that because you haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, but you went because your wife dragged you.
Yeah, she did. We were on out of town in Bend, Oregon, and she made me go watch it. So
not like you had a lot of other options of shit to go do once you were done with your race.
That is very true. There's not a lot in Bend.
It wasn't your birthday. No. It wasn't your anniversary.
No.
And Christmas is also in December.
Yeah. So it was
about. You only get 2 months out of the year.
Yeah, I know. August and December.
Yeah. I've heard really good things about Top Gun.
It's one of those, and I mean, those who listen, they know my feelings. I've never been a huge Top Gun fan. I really have always felt that Maverick wasn't the one that should have been, was my worst, like, my least favorite character in the movie. I like Goose, and I like Iceman. I did not like Maverick. This movie, literally, like, when Rooster, who is Goose's kid, walks in, you think it's Goose.
Rooster and Goose.
Yeah, so it ends up being, like, honestly, it's like a two-hour tribute to Goose. And it's one of those movies, like, you know, like I said with Ghostbusters, where it kind of, you know, kicks you in the feels a little bit. This one, from start to finish, pretty much, like, knocks you down and just keeps kicking you in the feels for 2 hours.
You got to admit, though, in the original Top Gun, yes, Pete was a dick. Maverick was a dick. He just was unlikable until he humanized himself when Goose died.
A little bit, yeah, and that's kind of a little bit of what it does, and the movie kind of plays off that.
He took full blame for it. He knew it was his fault, fucking around, blah, 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 you know, and he totally humanized himself.
So, I mean, it's one of those ones I would suggest, if you have not seen it, go see it. It was, for someone who isn't a big fan of the original, I loved it. I honestly think it's better than the original.
So my big fear, and people have eased my mind on it, but my big fear was the Val Kilmer because of Val's real life sickness, his throat cancer and having the trachea and all the shit that was going on with him.
Amazing.
And I did see an article. So I've talked to, you're saying amazing. I've talked to 5 or 6 other people that were like, they do him very right.
Oh, they do him so right, and it's another kick you in the feels moment. Yeah. I mean, the way they do their interaction, everything else, because I wasn't sure because I hadn't seen anything that he was in it yet. I'd heard that his picture was there, but not that he was fully in it. But their interaction, everything they do is spot on, beautiful.
Yeah, I read an article, his wife or living partner or the lady in his life basically said that this movie saved his life. Like, his depression was spiraling, his just unhealthiness of not doing anything, for, you know, keep himself healthy, kind of giving up on life. And all of a sudden, this, it gave him a reason to work out again, to kind of get back in shape, to, you know, really work on the speech stuff that he's been having such difficulties with. And I know he talks a lot, and I believe he even does. They do some type of AI with his voice through his voice box to match, like, it's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But to match his voice from the Top Gun movie, like, there was some type of program.
See, and I don't know, because I read something about that too, and when you see the movie, I don't see where they did that at all.
Well, and you may not see it. From what I understand, this program is amazing.
Well, no, but for what I mean, I don't see how they did that at all, because, I mean, it's one of those things, I don't know, if I tell you what they did, it gives it away.
Okay.
But I will say this, I don't see how they would, I don't see where they would have done that, because the way they did it, it makes sense.
I've tried not reading a whole lot about it. The thing that I read was Top Gun saves Val Kilmer's life. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, let me read this.
Which, I mean, it was amazing what they did with him. I mean, it was so amazing to see him. Because, like I said, I always liked Ice. I always liked Iceman.
Yeah. Krasinski can eat it.
Yeah. But, I mean, what they did with him in this.
I was a Merlin fan.
Merlin was good, too. Merlin was. I wish he would have been back on it. But they brought back a couple of the characters from the original.
I heard the old. Well, Tom Skerritt's dead, right? Did Tom Skerritt pass away?
I don't think he passed away, but I think he still lives in Seattle.
Okay. But he's not in it, right? No. And neither was Jester. I can't think of
it. No, Michael Ironside.
Ironside. Everybody always thinks of him as Jester. I always think of him from V, the original V.
Oh, see, and I think of him from Highlander 2 and that horrible piece of shit movie. But I love the Highlander movies, but Highlander 2, come on, really?
Here we are.
Yeah, the music was amazing. The rest of it, not so much. But no, I mean, it was good. I mean, they had, which I'm trying to think, I'm almost positive he was in the first one, Ed Helms.
In the first
Top Gun, wasn't he?
Ed Helms?
Isn't that who it is?
No.
God, who is it?
I don't even have my phone. Oh, I don't have my
You
phone
have a computer in front of you. Jesus Christ.
Oh.
No, that's not Ed Helms. God, what's his name?
What character?
Oh, I don't freaking remember.
Tim Robbins? Is that who you're thinking of?
No, he would have been awesome if he was in it, but.
Because that's Merlin, right?
Yeah, it's Merlin. Who did he play?
Bow, bow.
See, and they talked about Warlock, and I don't remember Warlock from the first movie. Ed Harris, sorry.
Ed Harris is in that movie?
Yeah, I thought he was in the first one, wasn't he?
Is he the tower?
I thought he was the tower in the first movie.
No.
No?
No, I'm pretty sure that wasn't Ed Harris.
But he's an admiral in this, so. And it's one of those things they keep playing off.
Are you thinking the short, bald guy from, like, Back to the Future?
Oh, yeah.
Who,
no, that
like,
was
has a cigar and tells him he'll be flying a cargo plane full of donkey shit.
Yep, that's a completely different one. So, my bad. But, no, I mean, Ed Harris, I mean, he does a great job in it, too. I mean, he plays, an admiral in it. I mean, they had some really good.
And Kelly McGinnis is not in it, right?
No.
Do they mention her? Do they?
No, they don't really mention her, but they do. I mean, his love interest in the movie is funny. So.
So they don't tie that loose end up.
Not really. They don't really tie that
is,
one up.
Is Wolfman in it?
No.
No?
No.
And Meg Ryan is not in it, right?
No, she is not. That she is talked about, but she's not in it.
Well, I would imagine just with.
Yeah.
Rooster, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Duke Stroud was the Air Boss Johnson.
That's right. So, but yeah, Ed Harris is in it for a little bit. He does really good. I mean, there's a lot of really good. Like I said, Warlock, I don't remember him being in the first one, but they mention him like he was. So there's a few that, you know, I wasn't too sure on, but I mean, it's the way they did it was really good.
So there's nobody on IMDb listed as Warlock.
On the first movie?
Yeah.
Okay. But he is in the second one, so. But he's like. But maybe it's one of those things, cause, I mean, he's supposed to be have, like, what, a 40-year career, so yeah. It could have been.
Somebody in the past.
Somebody in the past, but it was a past, far. You know, whatever, so. I mean, but really, he's.
What about Slider?
No.
I just remember, and I hear instead of volleyball, they play football.
Kind of, but it's a really weird. He makes them play, which is not really giving anything away. He has them play. It's like I don't remember what he called it. It's like chaos football or something, where it's offense and defense at the same time. So both teams have a ball.
That sounds kind of fucking fun.
It does. So he's like, it's like dogfighting where both teams can be offense and defense.
My knees just started hurting thinking about it.
So, but it was like offense, defense at the same time. And it was, you know, so, I mean, it was really good. I mean, there was a lot of good.
Well, I was talking to somebody about it and I was like, oh, maybe I'll go this weekend. And then I forgot we got the concert. And I'm like, yeah, I'm out this weekend, I guess. But no, who knows? Maybe if I go like next Wednesday again, I'll be the only one in the theater.
Yeah, but I was impressed. I expected to be a normal one of those ones that they bring back after years, and you're like, Jesus, why did they even do this?
Yeah,
you know. But this was actually one they tugged at the heartstrings. I mean, it was one that you could tell they really wanted. It wasn't for money. I don't think this was more because this was a passion project.
Yeah.
So for how much I don't like Tom Cruise. This was a passion project, and he did amazing with it.
I think he kept doing, like, MIs for money.
Yes.
Right?
Which there's another one coming out of those, by the way.
Yeah, but I think that is more kind of like your Fast and Furious, right?
Yep.
Not that I've seen any of them.
Oh, but I've seen all the Fast and Furious because Amber loves them.
But, you know, typically when you're getting into 7, 8, like, okay, especially when it's all the same actor. You know, people would go, well, what about, like, James Bond? You have different, Bonds. You're telling different stories. You're, you know, it's, they're not necessarily a continuation.
Yeah.
right? You don't have Roger Moore talking about, you know, Octopussy from the Timothy Dalton ones or Sean Connery ones. You know? So, yeah, they're their own separate...
Standalone.
Like a book, right? Like a series of, you know, books that don't go together but have the same character.
Yeah.
Kind of like Dick Tracy books, right?
Yeah. You know. But, and yeah, if you get a chance, go see Top Gun. I was impressed.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out. Now, I did watch some things. I told you, I watched Sonic 2.
I haven't watched that yet.
Oh, my God.
That's what I keep hearing, and I keep wanting to, but I've been watching everything else, so.
Oh, my.
I did watch Chip and Dale, though.
So did I, but I'll talk about that in a second. Sonic 2, fucking balls. Just fucking balls.
And the hard part is because that's one that Amber has no urge to see. So it's one of those ones I kind of have to watch it when she's not paying attention.
Nope, fucking balls. It is amazing. Idris Elba as Knuckles cracks me the fuck up the whole movie. It's another one. I liked the first one, but I hate James Marsden. Him as Cyclops ruined anything he ever does for me. Like, he fucking bothers me when I punch him in his dick. Like, fucking...
Kind of like me and Nick Cage.
No, Nick Cage is awesome.
I still want to punch him. I still want to see the new movie, though. Yeah, I want to see his movie just because it makes fun of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one, he's barely in. You get a little bit in the beginning, and then Sonic's like, hey, go on vacation. And then you get a little bit at the end where they need his help. But the whole movie after that is Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Egghead. And it is, Jim Carrey is fucking on point. He is fucking amazing. It's awesome.
I'm going to have to watch it. I just haven't watched it yet.
So we watched it Sunday night. I can't remember. I was telling you before we hit record here, we went camping, got home, and instead of watching Obi-Wan like I should have, I promised somebody we'd watch that. It ended right around 10 o'clock, and I was still just kind of sitting up, and Toby was wide awake. Of course, he slept the whole car ride home from camping, so he was good. And I was like, here, watch this. And we turned on fucking Chip and Dale's. I ended up staying up watching the whole fucking thing. I thought I was going to hate it. I don't remember if we talked about it on here or not, but it looked fucking horrible.
It did.
It was good.
It was. I was cracking up. I thought it was amazing. All the tags back to old shit, old different shows. I mean,
just the premise, the story premise of we were actors, not really Rescue Rangers, which is not what I was expecting at all. And because in the trailer, they make it look like they're looking for Monterey Jack. And so you're thinking,
oh, yeah, it's the Rescue Rangers. They're back.
Yeah. And you got one in CGI form, which they don't explain that in the trailer at all, and one in original animation form. And you're like, what the fuck? This looks horrible.
Yeah.
And so the story premise of they were actors, they broke up and became non-friends, and one went and had the CGI surgery.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, this is pretty fucking creative. Yeah. Like, I like it this. Was.
And then I love the fact that they kept throwing different styles of cartoon characters in. Like, they had the whole, like, you know, that one character. I think it was Seth Rogen, wasn't it? No. Yeah.
Seth played...
The short but, like, warrior guy, right? That was, like, 90s freaking... It was... Oh, yeah, that was that 90s animation that didn't really go anywhere. And there was a bunch of weird... different animation styles that kept popping up and different characters, and it was I thought it was kind of funny. And then how did Gadget and
that was the one that bothered me. Gadget and what the fuck is the fly's name?
Zipper.
Yep. Yeah.
And then when he started talking, because you never heard Zipper never talked in the series, and then all of a sudden he starts talking and you're like,
Bob the Warrior Viking.
Yeah,
you were like, and then they had a bunch of baby fly monks or whatever you fly monks, to call them.
Just like, what the fuck?
It was...
I mean, who was Zipper's voice? Because who was it? It wasn't James Earl Jones, but I mean, it's a voice that's like a very recognizable, deep... Like, you didn't expect to come out of a little fly.
Let me see here. Zipper. Dude, they had some just great voices in general, with Sandberg playing Dale and John Mulaney playing Chip, which was fucking awesome. I'll go through them as we're kind of Sweet Pete, which was Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah. Which you didn't expect that. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's an old fat Peter Pan.
Yeah, we don't even care if we ruin this, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we've already ruined it, so you're screwed.
If Peter Pan was kidnapping old cartoon characters to make, what do you call them?
Cheap, knockoff.
Knockoff. Versions. Foreign versions. Yeah,
to send them, and he would basically take the character, use a machine to change them just enough so that they weren't trademarked anymore, and then send them to, like, and then start making, like, knockoff, like, you know.
Will Arnett, yeah, Sweet Pete, Eric Bana, the original Hulk from the original movie,
yeah,
was Monterey Jack. Flula Borg was the DJ. Dennis Haysbert was Zipper. Dennis Haysbert is Serrano. He is
That's right, yeah.
What insurance you're in good hands with Allstate, I think.
Because I made that joke when we were listening. I'm like, it's the Allstate guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was Zipper.
So it was that big, deep, dark voice coming out of Zipper.
Keegan-Michael Key was Frog the Coworker.
Yep.
Tim Robinson was Ugly Sonic, which...
cracked me up.
Holy shit. I don't know how... like, it was so un-Disney to go... outside of Disney.
Yeah, because they grabbed a bunch of characters that weren't normal Disney characters.
No, Roger Rabbit wasn't originally Disney, was he?
I don't think so, no.
But Roger Rabbit...
I think they own it, now.
Full House, which I guess was on ABC.
Yeah.
But you don't think of it that way, especially now with it being the Fuller House being a Netflix-only type deal. The Ugly Sonic...
oh, yeah.
Which was the original, they originally made Sonic the Hedgehog movie that the fans went, fuck no.
Yes.
And so they shut down production and remade the whole thing.
And the whole thing with him, like, I have connections with the FBI. And you're like, bullshit.
They had every one of Seth Rogen's animated characters in there, plus his live action Pumbaa. They did that little thing at the end where they had all, like, six or seven of them in the circle.
Yeah.
And that was all the Seth Rogen characters. J.K. Simmons was Captain Putty.
Okay, yeah.
And he's best known for Spider-Man. Rachel Bloom.
Yeah.
The voices in it were just...
and it was one of those, like I said, it was... I wanted to watch it because, of course, I mean, I know we're old now, but still, it was that right era where we watched that show as kids.
You ran...
home to watch
down the fucking driveway to got off the bus to watch, maybe not just that, but just Disney Afternoon in general. When you only had five channels and none of them showed cartoons except Saturday morning, you know,
Disney Afternoon, you ran home so you could watch Chip and Dale and Disney Afternoon. So once they had it, it's like we got to watch it just because it's Chip and Dale.
Yeah,
and I really, like I said, like you said, I didn't expect to like it. I thought it was going to be stupid.
They had Voltron.
Yep.
That was one of them in there. Yeah, Snoopy.
Mm-hmm. And they just, it was like you said.
Tennant back as Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just kept mentioning all the, like, showing all these weird things that you're just like, holy crap.
Yeah, it was 100 times better than I could have ever imagined it being.
Yeah.
My hope was it was just... good enough that I didn't shut it the fuck off and piss off the boy.
Yeah.
That was my hope when I turned it on. I honestly figured I'd fall asleep on the couch, wake up at the end of it, and then be like, all right, buddy, it's bedtime, and go to bed. Yeah. Watch the whole damn thing.
It was good.
And then I watched one of what you've proclaimed to be your favorites of the last year, at least.
What's that?
I watched American Underdog.
I liked it. Uh-oh.
I didn't dislike it. I thought the football scenes were horrendous.
Yeah, they didn't do great on the football scenes.
I thought the fact that they didn't pay the money to get actual NFL licensing was horrible. I thought some of even the gameplay stuff looked like Madden football. Like, it was that digitalized. Yeah. That, you know. Story's okay, I guess.
I don't know. I think it's just one of those things because I've always... You know me. I'm a big Kurt Warner fan. So for me, it was just, you know, really seeing the truth. Or somewhat truth. I mean, there was obviously some exaggeration.
Yeah, it's Hollywoodized, but... Yeah, it... I mean, it was good, but I don't think they went into any details that... Even if you didn't read the book, right? Because it was based off of Kurt Warner's biography.
Yes.
Which I have not read. However... There was hardly anything in that movie that you didn't know just from watching, especially like Kurt's rookie season.
Oh, yeah.
That you didn't know, right? You knew about the stocking groceries at the grocery store. You knew about his wife. You knew about his arena football career. You knew, like, you knew that stuff. And when I watch a biopic, I want to know the deeper dive.
I agree. They probably didn't go as deep as they, but I mean, the one, some of the stuff, I don't think in some ways you realize how rough it got. Like where, you know, that one scene where the truck's dead in, you know, runs out of gas in the middle of nowhere while they're in there in the car freezing and, you know, he has to go running.
No, the one thing I didn't know was her parents dying in that tornado.
No, I didn't know that either. That was like,
oh. Yeah, and that was kind of how they got back together because they had just separated. Yeah. Or... At least per movie, they had just separated, yeah. You know. How long they were separate, I don't know because I didn't read the book. But I love Zachary Levi.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think he did a bad job in the movie at all.
No, I thought he did
a good job. Anna Paquin, where I hate James Marsden as fucking Cyclops. I like Paquin as Rogue. Yeah. It wasn't the Rogue I wanted, but that's not Anna Paquin's fault. That's the
writers, yeah.
Horrible writers who said, hey, let's make Rogue a 16-year-old kid without a southern accent. And yeah, that's not her fault.
No.
Yeah, so it was good. It kept my attention. I think Tosh liked it a little bit better than I did.
And I think that was hard, too, is like me and Amber, because we went like Christmas Day and saw it in theaters. So, and I think that was it, too, was just that it was fun because Amber actually enjoyed it, where I didn't, you know, normally a movie like that, she's going to be like the whole time we went, she's like, fuck, I got to go see this shit. But then she liked it, I think, almost as much as I did, if not more.
It's 100% a chick flick.
Oh, it is.
It's not a... If you're it's expecting not a sport to movie. Turn it on and go, oh, dude, we're going to watch some football.
No.
No. You get...
Like you said, the football that you do get isn't that great.
You get a good 15-minute of guy football movie stuff with the Arena League stuff.
Yes.
You don't so much get it with the NFL stuff, but the Arena League... Where they're not quite pros and they're a little partier and they're a little, you know, raunchier. What, you know, that's guy football stuff.
But I mean, they pretty much, like, the one thing is, too, is I mean, it pretty much ends when he hits the NFL. And that's one thing I think a lot of
people. They show that first season.
Yeah, they kind of, but it's like a montage of the first season.
Yeah, they showed the first game kind of.
Yes.
And then you get a montage and then they show a little bit of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
However, anybody who knows anything about football,
knows and that season,
that Super Bowl, and they don't show them almost losing by a foot.
Oh, that's I was kind of mad about that. Why didn't you? Yeah, they should have shown because I guess maybe because it was on him, not on the fact that, you know, the
it's
game.
One
but
of
they
the
had
plays in the NFL
they had to the show that play where I mean, all Tennessee needed was a foot.
I'd be curious
because I almost dropped my oldest kid. I almost dropped him. Watching that gold.
I'm really curious. I'm sure, right? I might not be able to find it on like YouTube or anything, but I'd be willing to bet you that NFL Films somewhere has a clip of Kurt Warner and his reaction watching that play.
Well, probably.
Right? And at least what they show in the movie and his like kind of newfound religion, you know, and kind of really getting in that Bible thumper where they kind of showed at the beginning, like he was almost eight, like questioning the whole, you know, constantly. And you would imagine now he's got this newfound faith that there was something, there's a clip somewhere of his reaction that you could have used for that movie.
Oh, probably.
And
but
so,
like you said, I think what a lot of it is too, is they got a little bit from NFL, but they didn't get much.
None of the jerseys had even the logo. The Rams' name, nothing.
Yeah.
They didn't get the rights.
No. So yeah. I'm sure they didn't be able to even use that NFL film.
No, but they could have recreated that. That's now, true. They did use some NFL film.
They did at the end, yeah.
Yeah. When like the end credit montage thing. They did use some NFL film. Because they also showed the real Kurt Warner with his Hall of Fame speech and
yep.
some of that stuff. Yeah, it didn't wow me. I think your excitement got me more excited.
I think what it was too for me is, like I said, you know, I'm a huge, like I've always told everyone, if I ever wore a uniform that was not a Seahawk uniform, it would be his. That'd be the only uniform I'd want is his.
I've got a lot I'd wear, but that's just me.
But that's just you. I've always been a Seahawk fan, and I mean, it's just,
oh, I am too. But
then the problem is too, is of course then the Rams. I mean, even though they technically were in our division back then, but we didn't have a football team back then. So,
what year did we go to the AFC? Because I thought they were,
or maybe they were in the AFC.
I thought that was our first, and I could be wrong.
Was it the early 2000s? That we left the AFC, went to the NFC.
If I can.
Because I'm trying to remember, because I know they were. I was a St. Louis, I was a Rams fan when they were in St. Louis, and when Kurt Warner was there.
Let me see, Seahawks from AFC.
But like I said, what 90? That was 99.
When did the Seahawks leave the AFC West? Here we go.
No,
2002.
Okay, so they would have been. So see, I wasn't complete.
I think that was 99, right?
Yeah, it was in 2000, but it was the 99 season. Yeah, because that was because, like I said, Connor had croup and wasn't sleeping, and Connor was born in December of 99. So, and he was about 2 months old when the Super Bowl happened, because he was on my chest when that happened, and I almost dropped him because I jumped up and
I think my biggest Super Bowl thing like that was I spilt Ryan's piss cup all over his hospital room floor.
Nice.
We were, was that the Super Bowl? Or was that the playoff, the AFC playoff? I know we were watching the Chargers. I think it was the Super Bowl. And I got excited and I jumped up and he was in a hospital bed with a shattered leg. And he had that fucking piss bucket thing. And I jumped up and I hit it and it flew and it hit the floor and just piss everywhere.
That's the way to celebrate.
Heck yeah, it is. That is Bills Mafia style. I don't know why I was doing it at a Chargers game, but that was Bills Mafia style.
You know what happens.
So. Oh, yeah. Comedy Wednesday. I was going to say last night because typically we do this Thursday, but how did it go?
It went good. I mean, Sam was good. It was a smaller crowd than normal. Which June and July, that's kind of how it happens. But April Gallaty was good. She was funny right off the bat. And then of course Richie's Richie. I freaking love Richie. He cracks me up. And then Sam.
Richie an add-on? Because I don't remember you saying his name.
It was originally supposed to be Bo Blast, but then Bo had to back out because he has something Wednesday nights. So and he didn't realize it was a Wednesday. So it ended up being Richie. So. But Richie was great. I always loved Richie, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw your pictures. The crowd didn't look.
It was sparse. We had the one table of drunken fun people that we always have, Bobby and all those guys. And then, like, a couple others. So it was the people that, it was our regulars that we get, but there was a lot of regulars that weren't there that week, so. But it's one of those, it might be the weather or whatever. It was a nice day that day, so. And it's the first nice day we've had this year.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier today, that Washington State has only had 5 hours all year above 70.
Yeah. And normally we're at like 25 or something by this point. So
yeah.
It's been, that's like tomorrow I'm doing a triathlon in Lake Wilderness, and it's the coldest that this triathlon's ever had. So, which I didn't have a wetsuit until last week because I finally bought one, but.
So I was telling you that Araya got to pick walk-up music for her game yesterday. And I was like, so we were sitting there. She told me about it. And I'm like, oh, what'd you pick? And she's like, all I do is win. So, of course, I'm giving her shit. I'm like, all you do is win? I'm like, what's your team's record? Like, you're 0-4, 0-5, or something like that. Like, what are you talking? All you do is win. No, you don't. And she's like, well, you have that song on your playlist. I'm like, yeah. And I only play it when I win. Like, And so I'm giving her shit, and I kept going, what about this song? What about this song? What about this song? She's like, I don't even know those songs, Dad. I'm like, hold on a second. I'm like, let me go in the garage. I got to make you something real quick. And she's like, oh, God.
That is amazing.
And so we decided to Rickroll. And I made it. I had her listen. She's like, oh, my God. She starts laughing. And I'm like, awesome.
Yeah.
So we handed that to the coach yesterday. And, of course, her first at bat, he played his version. Uh-huh. And he was like, I thought I picked the other one. Fuck. Like, so the second at bat, we got that one.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I took a video, but it wasn't very loud on his Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And so it didn't pop up on my phone very well for the video, but
the crowd loved it.
Yeah, you hear the laughing more than you hear the music.
Hey, that's awesome,
because the people were fucking busting up. But no, it was and then she proceeded to go 0-for-1.
Yeah.
She had 3 walks, I think, and then actually she smacked one to the outfield, right at the outfielder who caught it in the air. But yeah, so I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was really funny, actually.
That is awesome.
And we get to go get Rickroll live tomorrow.
Yes. That's going to be awesome.
It's probably, he'll probably only play like 3 songs.
I don't care, as long as that's one of them.
Oh, it will be. Yeah. My hope is that he plays that song during everyone's set.
That'd be amazing.
Can you imagine, like, he comes out and he's like, let's talk about butta 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 butta. You're like, what?
Yes.
Oh,
that would be awesome.
I'll fucking die.
I mean, it's one of those things Rick Astley was always a good artist, but it's just funny to see all of a sudden where, like, he kind of disappeared, and then all of a sudden the Rickroll came around, and it totally reinvigorated his career.
He was legitimately a typical 80s star.
Yeah.
One-hit wonder with a couple
okay
B-sides that maybe hit the top 40, top 100 type thing. UK artist who I don't think he stayed over here very long to keep.
Yeah.
I think he was definitely bigger in the UK.
I think so.
Than here. Music, like, I think he kept making albums, but they weren't albums that,
that made it over here and made it big enough over here.
Yeah, came back over here. But all of a sudden my computer froze. I hope my recording did not.
Your computer broke? Oh, no.
Nope, recording still works. It's just the internet.
I'm just cracking up because your computer always breaks.
I know.
We were just talking about that. I think we both need new computers. So if our wives listen to this, buy us computers.
The first question when you type Rick Astley into Google, whatever happened to Rick Astley? What do you mean, what happened to him?
He's around still.
Oh, it says in 93 he retired from music to focus on spending time with his then partner and raising his daughter. And then in 2001 he came back out with an album.
Yeah.
So, how much money did Rick Astley make from Rickrolling? $12.
That's it?
According to the Register, as of 2010, Astley had directly received only $12 in performance royalties from YouTube, although by that time, the song had been played 39 million times.
Wow.
Astley did not compose the song and received only a performer's share of the sound recorded copyright.
But, I mean, that may be all he received for it, but it reinvigorated his career.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it brought him back into the mainstream. I mean, kids today now know who Rick Astley is. If it hadn't been for Rickrolling, I can guarantee you nobody would know.
My girls, who don't know anything, know who Rick Astley is.
Yeah.
Bella tried telling me that was not Rickrolling because I didn't play the chorus of the song. And so I went to YouTube
before I made that cut, I went to YouTube and went through. I loved it, actually, because I went through the fucking rabbit hole of Rick Rolland. Every one of them starts with the opening of the song.
And that's how we know it all. Is all of a sudden, it's like you sit there listening to something else, and then it goes into the, you know, the beginning song, and you're like, son of a...
Yep.
Again?
Yeah, so I was cracking
I don't know
up.
How many times I've sent you different versions of TikToks. If I see a Rickroll, I'm like, Matt.
I love it. Like, and I think it'll be fun tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a blast.
You know? One, I love New Kids on the Block. I know you're not necessarily... excited about that, but I am excited. You're going to be the one who's like, can we go early? We're Amber's normally nudging you. Let's go home. Let's go home. You'll be like, Rick Ash is over. Can we go home now?
I don't know. It's one of those things. A lot of people may know this, may not. I actually, when we were kids, I was a big New Kids fan. I had all their stuff. I even somewhere, I think I have the VHS copy of... whatever the frickin'...
On VHS? I think it's over there on my shelf. I have the cartoon.
Oh, I never had the cartoon, but it was whatever the... So I was a fan of New Kids, and I have no... I'm okay to say it, but... So I'll know the music. I know there's music. I'll be okay. I'll have fun with it.
Yeah. I'm looking at Rick's Twitter page just to...
Oh, he's amazing. I follow him on TikTok, too, so...
Yeah, I do, too.
He does some cool stuff.
I do, too. Yeah, I mean, he looks the fucking same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a little older in the face, but for the most part, you know, he looks, but oh my God, so going through all this, right, as I hit this rabbit hole, you're watching, and Rick Astley, dances like... your little, what, I don't know if you call it a mock dance or like every time you hear something that kind of, you're like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. So I'm sitting here watching this. Oh, we're going to get a commercial because I suck.
He does do some funny dances.
Hit me with a second commercial.
Oh, they're trying to trick you up.
It's not even funny dance, it's just
that's how white. To dance.
It's just white.
What's wrong with that dancing? That's amazing. That's the best way to dance.
The other thing, it reminds me of Donald Trump. Basically the two dicks in the mouth dance.
Yeah.
Except he's jerking people off sitting down. You know the rules, and so do I. And for those of you who are like, Rick Astley only had one song.
Oh, no. See, now you're just getting me all excited for tomorrow.
And you're going to be tired. You're doing a triathlon tomorrow morning.
Yeah. I'm doing an Olympic distance. So that's you swim 0.9 tenths of a mile. I don't know why they don't make it a fucking mile, but 0.9 tenths of a mile. And then you ride the bike for 27. And then you run a 10K. So 6 miles.
Now, why is the Olympic one shorter than a real triathlon?
No. What do you mean a real? What, you mean like the Ironman?
Yeah.
The Ironman technically actually isn't a real triathlon. The Ironman is supposed to be harder than a real triathlon.
Okay, what's the...
That's why they make it longer.
What's the Ironman that you... or the triathlon that you did out here last year?
That was the Ironman, the 70.3. So...
that was Maple Valley's Ironman?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and this is actually... this is a Lake Wilderness triathlon. This is like the 10th year that they've done it. So I've just never done this one. So I'm doing the Olympic with my friend tomorrow. So it's going to be quite interesting. So we're going to see. It's first time using the new bike in an actual triathlon and all that. And we'll see how it goes. So this is kind
new
of
bike,
my test.
New wetsuit.
Yep.
The bike you've at least tested out.
Yeah, I did 40 miles on that, you know,
the
a couple weeks ago.
The wetsuit you have not.
No. I put it on and then cut the legs. So, which everyone kept telling me you're
you
not supposed to do
that. You guys want to cheer Brandon on and see some prunes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I have it's called a tri-suit, which, I mean, it looks like 2 pounds of freaking mashed potatoes, 2 pounds of mashed potatoes in a 1 pound sack when I put it on, but it's basically, it looks like the old wrestling, like,
singlet,
so that way when you take the wetsuit off, you're not naked, because they apparently are against that, they don't like you getting completely naked.
Oh. Why not?
So that way when you take the wetsuit off, you have something on underneath it that's supposed to be drying really quick, but I'm going to throw a shirt over it and, you know, because nobody needs to see that.
So, I obviously know nothing. You swim first.
Yep.
Ride bike.
Yep.
And then run.
Yes.
This wetsuit, which is like a singlet, is, I'm assuming, flexible.
Well, there's two, because I have the wetsuit and a trisuit. So the trisuit goes under the wetsuit.
Okay.
And so when you get out of the water, you got to take the wetsuit off, which is like the hardest part.
So the wetsuit is the rubber, like... Yeah,
like a neoprene, just like a normal wetsuit.
Okay. Okay, and so then you'll do the rest of it with the tri-suit on.
Yes.
Okay, that's what
I was... And it's just like a normal, like I said, it is really just like a wrestling singlet. I mean, it's just made of a material that's supposed to dry quickly. So that once you get out of the water...
So similar to a lot of athletes' underclothes now,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether they're leggings or their under... I call them Under Armour shirts. But
yeah. So I'll end up throwing on like a shirt and shorts over the top of it. But then you'll, hop on the bike.
Oh, you just ride that bike in the trisexual thing or whatever.
Well, and the nice thing is, too, actually, the trisuit has the bike. It has the bike underwear, so it has the padding on the bum, so when you sit down, so on the bike. But, yeah.
I want pictures. I don't want video. I just want a 360 photo of you in this suit.
No, because nobody needs to see this shit. Like I said, it's like, because really what Amber bought it for me was last year before my first triathlon. So I'm actually about 25 pounds bigger than when she bought it. So, and it was a little tight then.
Oh, we need pictures.
So it fits me still, but like I said, it's like 2 pounds of mashed potatoes in a 1 pound sack.
Yeah, I have medium sized shirt that fit me still.
Yeah.
From shoulders to tits.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need pictures.
Yeah.
What time's this thing tomorrow?
Early. It's. I think it starts at like 7.
Oh, I'll be up.
Yeah. So you go in the water at 7, then you come, as soon as you're down the water, you jump straight on the bike.
I might, you're only like 2 miles away.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might come down with my drone and take pictures.
Yeah. So I'll jump straight on the bike and then go.
You'll see Mike in a tri-suit looking like King Kong trying to swap my drone down.
Yeah, probably. Jesus. Nobody needs to see that.
Oh, nobody needs to, but we all want to.
Yeah.
Oh, I am.
And the bad part, too, getting the wetsuit, because of the way I'm built weird anyway, I have, like, a long torso and short legs. So to get one that fit my torso, like, it's, like, 4 inches too long. Like, it came out past my toes, so I had to cut off, like, 4 inches of it.
Of your wetsuit?
Yeah.
I'm still on the tri-suit.
Tri-suit. That only goes down to just above the knee, so.
I don't care about the wetsuit. I'm just...
No. No.
I'm all about the tri-suit here.
No.
All about the tri-suit.
Nobody gets to see that.
Oh, I think we might. I think we might get it. Maybe I'll message Amber now.
No, she'll be there. She's dropped me off, so.
I need pictures.
Yeah. Maybe.
We have an Instagram account
that
we need some new posts on.
We do.
Mr. Pickett did, and I thought I'd pass it along. Send us a thank you for shouting him out with his boy, making the, I don't think it's the SPSL anymore like it was when we were, whatever the high school division, all pitcher, all state, you know.
Well, from everything he keeps posting, it looks like he deserves it.
He did send me... Again, I left my damn phone in the house. Uh-huh. He did send me a message, thanking us for it. So that I thought was pretty cool. And then I saw today, speaking of, like, do our kids suck? I mean, yours got a lot of congratulations because she's pregnant.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of congratulations when I posted Tasha's pregnant. So
yeah, you know what happens.
I think that's just one of those things that everybody feels obligated to like.
Oh, yay. Lucky.
But Joe Simomo, another friend of the show, posted about his son getting cut from the basketball team and not giving up and working, 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 and he just made the summer team.
Nice.
So, all these fancy schmancy children achievement things is, well, pretty cool to see.
It is. I mean, your kids don't suck. I mean, you know, you got Meat hitting the ball sometimes.
Yeah, they kind of suck.
And Toby, well, I mean, Toby's Toby.
Yeah, I doubt. So Toby has playoff seating this weekend for football, and I'm not holding my breath. And I don't know if we suck. We're so young, and I think we're the only team out there that hasn't been together like 4 years already.
Yeah.
We're the only team with less than 7 people on it, where everybody else is like 10, 12. We got 6.
How do you keep a whole team with 6?
So this league worked out really weird, right? This league put out league things for a league in each of these cities, and one of them was Maple Valley. And so that's what we signed up for. Maple Valley had enough for 6 kids. Sorry, we didn't even have enough for 6 kids. We have one kid whose dad works for the local school out here, but his kid and them live in Des Moines. And so they're like, oh, we'll move that team into the Renton League. So we're in the Renton League. And these kids are playing year-round. They play this Gridiron League, and then in like 2 months, they start the Renton Junior Football League.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they...
And they got a bunch. They got a... In Renton, they had a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah, so they play a lot of football where we've had one kid who played last season, and that's it. Like, that's our experience level. Toby had one practice, one game 2 years ago, and then COVID canceled it. And then we had one kid who played the last season. That's our experience level.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
It and happens.
We have a great coach. He's actually one of the high school football coaches here for Tahoma. So, I mean, and he's really good with the kids, and he's running, like, legit routes and plays, and you just can't open a playbook with no experience.
No, and like, that's
it. It's the old KISS method, right? Keep it simple, stupid.
I mean, you got to teach the basics before you can start getting out playbooks. Yeah. It's like in baseball. I mean, the first couple of years, you're teaching them what they're supposed to do at each position, how to hit, how to throw, all that stuff. You don't start getting into crazy stuff until a little bit older.
Yeah, don't get me started.
And then they still forget and don't follow the rules.
Yeah. You know, you had Steve from Blue's Clues. Steve from Blue's Clues, he's a little dopey, but you sure love the guy.
Yeah.
Steve from Blue's Clues, right? We weren't kids, but we had kids that were kids with Steve. And then your next little batch of kids come, and they got fucking Joe. And you fucking hate Joe. Joe, he's just too preschooly, and two, trying to be Steve. That's Toby's baseball coach. Yeah. He's not Steve. Toby's baseball, nice enough guy, really is. But Toby's coach, legitimately, first team meeting or whatever, he introduced himself and he was like, okay, this is my experience. I played coach pitch baseball once. What? What?
That's his... But it's one of those things, because I can remember when we were, like, still... Like, when I started stepping out of coaching, like, Benton's second to last... Or, no, it was his last year, because he switched coaches after the second practice, because I threw a fit. But the coach that he had, it was like, there wasn't enough volunteers, so it was just a mom that stepped up that had never even played softball.
Come out and say that. Your experience playing one season of coach pitch 30 years ago doesn't impress me.
No.
You coming out and going, they didn't have enough volunteers. I wanted my kid to make sure my kid got a chance to play.
Yeah.
And so I'm here. I can use any help I can get, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. No.
But then you have jerk parents like me that pull your kid and put him somewhere else. But that was also because, like, we've had that conversation where she basically kept trying to, like, make him swing right-handed. And I'm like, he's a lefty. Well, but he throws right. I get that. I do the same thing, but I'm a lefty. Yeah. He's the same like me. I've never tried to fix that.
Yeah, we, and he's good with the kids, but he's got his hands full.
Oh, yeah.
There's some shitty kid, and the assistant coach is a mom who signed up, and, you know, she's kind of more the disciplinary, and, but.
At that age, it's tough.
No, I had no problem.
Well, it depends on the parents.
And I did it by myself.
That's true, you did. A lot of it depends, too, sometimes on the parents. Because sometimes I remember some of the kids, which actually usually they were the better kids, the ones where the parents would just drop them off and leave. And it's like, cool, go away.
There's like three of us that stay.
And then you'd get the parents that would stay. And most of the time, the parents that stayed, I wanted to throw stuff at.
And mind you, practice is only an hour. And games are only an hour. It's practice is 6:45 to 7:45.
That's it?
That's it. And games are tightly scheduled at an hour. You could be 2-1 in the count, and the hour's up, and they go, all right, guys, let's say cheers and let the next teams on. Like they got them. But this league also, right? So I'm used to coaching Pony. Even when we were in CBAC, that was Pony.
Yep.
This isn't even... Pony is probably the most advanced rule-wise.
Yes.
They kind of speed up the process. They kind of... You know, you get into real baseball at a much younger age than even World Series. Or not World Series, Little League.
Yeah.
Little League pulls it back a little bit, you know, and advances you a little bit slower. And then you have rec ball. We're in rec ball.
Oh, okay. I'll explain some things.
This league does not allow on-deck hitters.
What?
Does not allow on-deck hitters against the rule. So your one kid is in the batter's box, that's it.
Everybody else is on the bench.
Three outs, don't matter. We bat the lineup.
How old's Toby?
8.
See, okay, I could...
This would be Pinto. So this would be Pinto for Pony Baseball.
The kids are pitching by that point, aren't they?
No, is coach pitch.
It's still coach pitch.
Mustang.
It's the next level where the kids start pitching.
In Pony Baseball, Pinto was coach pitch, and then the final 2-3 weeks of the season, they introduced kid pitch.
Yeah.
It's only for 2 innings a game.
Yep.
So the games don't go forever, right? But you introduce it and you start teaching them, because come Mustang, it's strictly.
Yep.
You also, it's a 5-pitch rule in Pinto. You get 5 pitches. If that coach doesn't throw 5 strikes, you're fucked.
Yeah.
If you don't swing and hit, you're fucked. You're just out. This one, it's 5 pitches, but if you don't hit anything, they put the tee out, and the 6th one, you get on a tee, and you hit the ball.
Interesting.
We did team pictures. We had kids that didn't show up in any type of uniform, shorts, flower pants. Toby's one of 3 kids that wears baseball pants every day. Like, I don't play that shit.
No.
Yeah, he wears baseball pants every day. We have one kid who wears Army combat boots. Like, if his size shoe wasn't like a toddler 4, you would think the Army issued him these shoes. They're that type of combat boot. And jeans every day. That's what he wears. Yeah, it's a cluster, but... Oh, well, enough bitching about little kids. Yeah. Congratulations to those parents.
Good job for your kids doing great. There are days that I miss. I miss doing all that when we're talking about it. And I'm like, I miss the fun. I miss the joy of the kids. But then there's other days where I'm like, seeing how some of them are now, I'm like, I don't know if I could handle it.
Oh, I could. I have no problem shutting them fucking down.
Yeah.
I miss it because I'm sitting there just... fuming.
Well, and I think that's what's different too. I don't have a kid that I'm watching do it. If I had a kid that was still on it and they were out there, I would be losing it. I'd be like, really? Come on. Come on.
Well, Abreu still looks to me for everything out there. Not her coach. Her coach will say something. She'll look at me and go, wonder if I need to agree with what they're having her do.
Well, that's what was funny, because like when Zoe stepped up and Zoe went to softball, and I'm like, well, I don't understand fast pitch enough to coach this. And she went to a team with the coach, and it was the same thing. When the coach would say something, she'd look over towards me, and that's why eventually after like the first practice, he's like, just be the assistant. She looks at you anyway.
Yeah. Nope, I didn't get that, and that's fine. And I don't dislike her coaches. I actually really like them both. we just don't have the same philosophy at all.
No.
And when I look at the record,
yeah,
then I'm like, well, maybe mine's better. Like, and that's probably just the asshole.
Probably, but you know.
But, you know, it's just how, even them, they change the rules. That's middle school ball. They change the rules at the plate every game. Oh, are we going to do a 5-run rule, or are we going to be wide open like we should? Are we going to...
Oh, so the coaches are making decisions on what the rules are going to be.
Are we going to do third strike drop? Oh, only for the last batter. So only for the third out.
And see, the hard part that I've always had with that, because I've seen that a bit, you need to teach kids how to play correctly. Because if all of a sudden you're doing that in league, and now all of a sudden that kid goes to play on another team, or goes to play school ball or something.
Just the same rules, right? If you have the rules for a league, you have the rules for a league. But this is Bronco. This is middle school age. So these kids either have or have the ability to play school ball, which there are no babying rules. It's real rules. So,
and that's what I've always had a problem with some leagues, where all of a sudden you see that, where all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, you know, we're going to do this. Where it's like, I'm trying to teach kids how to play correctly.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you run into a normal thing, and it's like, you know, like for a lot of, it wasn't so much in Pony, but in a couple of other ones where they couldn't steal.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they were like, and I can't remember which league it was, but they're like, oh yeah, no stealing. But I'm like, they're 1 year away from junior high ball where they can steal. Why aren't we teaching them this?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no stealing home in the girls softball because the coach, and these coaches came from Mustang last year. And so they want to enforce those rules.
God.
So, yeah, we're not stealing home.
Zoe would lose it.
Yeah.
Because you remember her. She'd sit there because she was a catcher. She knew how they were supposed to react. And anytime she was on third, the second there was a pitch, she was halfway home standing there.
Our catchers are another story.
But she learned that from you, too. So I can't say much where it was that, you know, wait, get all the way halfway down, because if they make the throw, she's gone.
Yep. It's a struggle at times. It is a struggle. So.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I saw you pull up the flyer.
Yeah, because I knew you were going to ask me.
Look at him prepared. Firehouse coming up.
Yes. It's going to be a great show. You got Mike Hansen, who is your host, featuring Burungi. And then your closer is going to be Todd Royce.
I'm a big Burungi fan. I've never seen...
I love Burungi.
I've seen Todd Royce clips. And, of course, you know, I've seen a lot of his TikTok.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen his live set.
Burungi's
fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And I am a big fan. I like Mike Hansen, too.
The one thing I have to say about Burungi, though, this is what cracks me up. And the one thing, I don't know if you saw the picture of Mike Hansen, that's from a calendar. I have the calendar because I ran into somebody that I was teaching one day. And they're like, oh, check out this calendar I have for, you know, cancer or whatever. And I'm like, he's like, it's dad bod calendar. I'm like, ah. And I open it up and I get to November. I'm like, that's Mike fucking Hansen. He's like, how do you know Mike? I'm like, we do comedy together. But
that's awesome.
It'll be fun. Burungi, my favorite story of Burungi was at Cole Street. This, like, had to have been like 80-year-old guy with an NRA hat, everything in the front row. And him and Burungi, by the end of the show, were best friends. And he walked back and bought the you know, a t-shirt from Burungi.
And
then
for those that
don't
know Burungi and why this is an amazing story, is Burungi is
immigrant
Ugandan. He's Ugandan.
Ugandan,
okay, yeah. I knew he was an immigrant from Africa. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it's where. Uganda. And, I mean, he's got some of his... I mean, I don't know if you've heard his new joke about his brother and ordering Starbucks. Oh. And his brother's name's... it's spelled M-I-N-I-G-E-R. So the whole story is just like...
The joke tells itself.
Yeah. I've got a copy for my black friend.
Yeah. The joke tells itself
it does.
Awesome.
So...
All right, and that is, what, June 9th?
Yes, June 9th. It's next Thursday, so it's going to be a fun one.
Firehouse and Ording, be sure to check that out.
Taco night, free.
We are a day late. We do hope next Thursday is our last softball game.
Yeah.
Toby's games are just Saturday, so hopefully we'll get back at least to the summer on a little bit more regular schedule.
We should, yeah.
But again, I texted you earlier today. Adult life sucks.
It does. Like, it does. Well, because we were even going to have this earlier, but I ended up just coming to Matt's house because I was up in Concrete today, and it took me 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and yesterday, extra innings, and then we got talking to as we walked by, the baseball game was still going on, and one of the kids I used to coach and his parents that, you know, we've become friends with stopped us, and we got talking, and next thing you know, I walked in the door, it was like 9:30, and we're like, well, fuck, that's too late. Like,
yeah.
Yep, just adults. Adult life sucks sometimes. But
it does, but we got it done anyway.
All right, so next week we'll be filling you in on our fun at New Kids.
Yes, which is going to be amazing.
So that'll be coming up next week, and hopefully by then I've had Obi-Wan watched.
All 4 episodes by then?
Well, we'll probably record Wednesday.
Well, the new episode comes out Wednesday.
All right. let's just hold me to 3.
Okay.
Yes, we'll have all that going. But anyways, all right, guys. With all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.